So who wants to start with a ministry or leadership type question? Either one.
Yes.
Just go ahead. Oh. Who's got one? If not, we can certainly prompt questions.
Sandra had one earlier. Remember we talked about in leadership 101?
Mm-hmm. I forget, Chris. You're going to have to refresh my memory. What was it on?
Okay.
Talking a little bit with Chris earlier. We've just met on email a couple times, but it seems that as a single adult minister that we're not reaching a vast segment of our population. Even at this conference, the demographics, we're in a very large church and yet very poor representation of the single adult population. I am serving a very large church. We have what some would consider a very large ministry, but yet we're only reaching a fragment of the population, from national leaders, from regional leaders, bigger picture people. What can be done or what is being done to try to cast the net out, to draw people in? For example, my point, and I'll try to get to it. Acquire the Fire draws thousands and tens of thousands of fired up young. We, from our church alone, we send every year large groups, and they're so energized, they're pumped, they're 17, 18 years old. Then they go away to college and they're gone.
Right.
And a lot of them don't get married, we just lose them.
Right.
And I'm like, from you, from a strategic point, what do you see we are doing or should be doing to close that gap?
Something we were just discussing.
Good question. You want to, one of you want to answer first before I do?
Well, let me just say this. Regionally and as far as South Carolina, we are asking ourselves the exact same question. I've been putting on retreats, conferences for years. And even in my own church, when I was part of a very large church, I had a large single adult ministry. But when it come time for the retreats and conferences, the demographics weren't there. The support was not there. I have tried going closer, you know, changing, maybe going to this part of the state, this part of the state, or this part of the state. To be honest with you, I haven't figured out the answer. I'm still trying to dig, and I'm still trying to figure out other ways that we could do it. I did start doing singles missions trips, and that helped, but it only helped just my personal singles group. I did, as far as the conferences and the retreats, come up with themes and come up with bands and come up with... I had Justin, you know, at one of my functions as well, and... I'm just there with you. South Carolina, to me, is so far behind. I'm still struggling getting my pastors educated and getting my senior pastors educated. I actually withdrew from being a full-time pastor so I can travel and get in senior pastors' face to say, listen, 44% of adults are single adults. What are you doing in your church? Let's do something. Can we do something? I'm here to help you. What can I do to help you to do this?
Something, too, we talked about earlier, Steve. We were talking about this at lunch, and some of it is creative ways in order to reach them where they are, methods that are maybe we have to change, that we rely on these old methods, and we have to change some of our methods. And one way, we talked about the discussion of online dating, and we talked about how, you know, is it to, we don't like it, we don't support it, but the fact that it's happening is, if that's, so putting, let's separate online dating to the side for this second, not get into a deep theological discussion about online dating, but if the younger audience, under 30, definitely under 40, but definitely completely under 30, if that's the way they're connecting, and we know that's not helping them to connect, it's not a great way to connect because it's a start, but it's not really building the relationships that we want them to have. But if that's where they're beginning, that's where they're at once they get into college, and then they're in their 20s, that's how they're developing relationships, then is there a way that we can reach them? Is that a method to reach them to then get them somewhere else? Another thing, college, one of the things, and I know that Dennis probably can, or both of you guys can support this, we're encouraging youth pastors to be over college ministry. In Southern Baptist churches, it was called college and career. Well, I don't know where the college was because it was definitely not there. And not everybody has a career in their 20s. What does that mean? If you're not, you know, what does that mean? You have to have a degree. And so we're encouraging that the college age fall under the youth pastor, not to combine them with youth, but just so there's a staff person because of the transition. They would leave and you didn't know where they went. You had no way to follow up. And then the ones that did stay, you didn't have any way to connect back to them. And that seems to help a little bit. But then you're back to the issue, okay, what about, okay, great, you hold on to a few, but then what about from college into the 20s? When you do get them back, they're hurt, broken, and we're more in the preventative maintenance. It's like, how do we keep that from happening?
Steve, it's true that the high school does have thousands of people coming to their statewide and national conferences. You've got to understand some things. The youth department has been there 60-some years. They have a staff of 13 people. Mm-hmm. I've been there 5.5 years. I have a staff of one. I have one person besides myself. The General Council of Assemblies of God is not going to put big, big bucks into my ministry like they do into youth because we're a newer department, number one. Number two, because the youth fund their department from Speed to Light. How many years has Speed to Light been going? They get a percentage of all the millions of dollars that come in from Speed to Light. They get a percentage of that to run their department. I don't know if you knew that. That's what pays for their department. They are funded differently than I'm funded. The single adult, young adult department that we've started is funded by subsidy. Subsidy. In other words, they give me some money to work with, but I don't get a percentage of all the income of Speed to Light like they do. Neither do the men's department has Life for the Lost. They've been going for years and years and years. They get a percentage of all that money that comes in for Life for the Lost, those dues. The BGMC Children's Ministry, they're also sponsored by BGMC. They get a percentage of the $5 million of BGMC that comes in every year. That's how they can grow to 13 staff people in their department. So I'm one guy and one secretary. That's it. And we're trying to oversee two ministries. Let me tell you, it is challenging. Let me tell you. And so, number one, we don't have the money for more staff to go further. Number two, we don't have the tenure of ministry like these other departments have.
Right.
And maybe in 20 years, I'll be gone there in 20 years. Maybe the next guy will have more staff in 5 years or 10 years. I don't know. But we're sort of building towards it. And so, number one, that's some reasons why we don't have the staff and to build the ministries. Because there's so much I'd like to do. There's so much. And I lost my young adult guy. I had a young adult guy for 2 years that I creatively tried to produce some budget for. And then we lost budget. They cut me $61,000. They're cutting a lot of people, though. We're in a downsizing right now, to be honest with you. The women's department is losing staff. The children, Christian schools losing staff. The creative center designers are losing staff. I won't get into all this, but I'm saying we don't have the staff, we don't have the money, okay, and we don't have the history. We're new. We got to grow.
So part of it's credibility, just proving ourselves as we continue to
prove. Part of it's credibility, part of it's budget, part of it's history. The other issue is this. The people in across the country that I relate to, who some of them have single adult and young adult ministries under their portfolio, we have 57 districts. Most of them are state. In her state, South Carolina, that's a district, the guy's name is Victor Smith. He's a CE director. We have 57 CE directors. Many of those have single adult or young adult ministries in their portfolio, but they're not doing anything with it.
And even in time, we've been bounced around because I originally was under missions. Yeah. So I've even been, my department's been bounced around at the district level.
And these district CE guys have 4 to 8 ministries that they oversee. And since they're married, they don't understand single adults or young adults, they don't give it priority. Only about 17 of the 57 districts have anything targeted to single adults. She's one of them. Because we're trying to raise up people like her in her district, her state, to wake up the district to see the need. She's doing more than most of them are doing. I'm thankful for that. So I'm saying, you're right. We want to go forward, Steve. But we have limitations, and we don't have the budget, we don't have the staff, we don't have the history. Mm-hmm. We need your prayer. And the other part of it is this. Single adults, yes, they can be single, young adult age 18 to 99, but you got to remember, above 60, you're not going to get too many people coming to single adult ministries, above 60. So that cuts out several million. Below 30, they're going to be young adults. They don't want to consider themselves single, most of them. I know your group might be different. I talked to Greg. But many single adults under 30 don't want to be called single. They want to be a young adult ministry. They don't want to identify with singleness. They won't go to a singles class or a singles ministry, most of them. Now, my mom's 46. She's single, divorced, but not me. I'm 27. I'm never married. Just never married, you know. So that you got to cut out those young adults 30 and under. That cuts out many, many more million. So it's not that we have 82 million of all ages, or 82 million singles. We don't. We have 82 million who are unmarried, but we don't have 82 million singles. There's only about 55 million singles who would go to a singles ministry. That's still a lot. It's a lot. But we're struggling for answers, too.
Dennis, wouldn't you say, too, we're still plowing?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what Dennis always told me every time I call and say, Dennis, can I cry on your shoulder? we're plowing. We're still in the baby steps. We're still planting seeds.
5.5 years for national ministry is nothing. It's brand new. But we're ahead of the game, you guys, compared to many denominations. I'm telling you, they're looking at our websites. We get compliments from Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, Presbyterian. We get compliments. God's helping us to do the little we're doing. God's helping us. But I think we should have 500 here at this too.
Yeah. Amen.
And you maybe don't know this, but we sent to 600 churches within a 6-state area that say they have a single adult ministry, because I've got them on my master list. We sent brochures. We sent emails, several of them. But they don't promote it because they don't understand the needs. Mm-hmm. See? So we get 100 instead of 500. We should have 500 here. So that's a long answer. Mary?
I'm struggling with what I'm hearing here.
Okay, let's...
What I'm hearing is we don't have the money. We don't have the history. And, you know, we don't know what to do. I mean, where's our faith? Where's our...
Oh, listen.
Okay. I mean, we've got to meet a need, you know. Jesus didn't have all that when he started his ministry, and it didn't take long. You know, we're not meeting a need. Somehow we're not. And I think that's what we have to find. You know, we're small. Divorce care here has really brought in hurting people. Mm-hmm. And we're meeting a need. The church is seeing that it's meeting a need, so we're getting more buy-in. You know, I don't know the answer, but the answer is on our knees. The answer is resources from us that are single who can do, you know, money, time, whatever. But, you know, it's out there. It's in this group.
Well, coming back to the resource thing, and I know Dennis did say pray to Steve earlier that we need prayer. You know, people ask me, are singles pastors, are they going away? And we discussed this earlier. Is there such a thing as a singles pastor? In North Carolina, I've only found 11 full-time singles pastors in the entire state, personally. There may be more, but that's all I found. That includes all denominations. What I found is pastors that also have two or three other titles with their title. So what I'm seeing is that singles ministry is being done away with. It's because of the economy. It's being diversified. So what does that mean? There's even more of a need for lay leaders to lead. It's even more of a need for them to have resources. It's one thing for a pastor to meet a need resources. Well, a pastor might be able to get on the phone with Dennis and talk to him personally. He might be able to have the money to buy the books. But if that's the direction that I'm seeing things go, even more so than ever, we need to give them resources, which dumbfounds me that we don't have the numbers. Next weekend, I have a conference called Navigate. It's a lot like this, except it's only leadership. And we're the same numbers. And I'm sending out stuff to everybody and their mother, K-Love, Christian Happenings, whatever, and it just blows me away that people in my own city who have singles ministries and they're struggling, they'll send one person.
Yeah.
And it's just ludicrous to me that you want this, but yet you're not really willing to take the next step to actually go get it. So some of this for me and how I'm helping to change is the personal relationship that I have with people. It's me getting on the phone, which, you know, I was Dennis, and I'm going to tell you what, this man, you can email him and email you back in the same day, which is amazing to me considering what position he has, which is awesome. He's a great communicator. He helps me. He helps me to keep doing what I'm doing. So then I, in turn, go out and help you guys do what you're doing, which in turn you guys go out and help those, and so on and so forth. That is, to me, the best solution. If I can keep the resources in front of you, if I can keep the information, here's how to do it, here's what to do, let me call you on the phone, let me talk to you, then in turn, hopefully, you'll model the same behavior, discipleship, and we'll get to them. Dennis?
We agree in faith and prayer. We're praying hard. We're
Amen.
Very...
Oh, yeah.
We have a long way to go. We do. But we're saying we're up against the wall of misunderstanding and misconception. Pastors don't embrace this because we're very family and marriage and family
need.
Focused in the assemblies. And in the most evangelical churches, it's family, family, family. Hey, family nights, church of the family. Where does that leave the single adult? Where does that leave the person who is... You and I were talking earlier, Karen, who doesn't fit in. And more of us, we're becoming a single nation. I'm preaching until I die. I'm telling you, we're marrying later and we're divorcing sooner. And so we've got to help change the pastors. They need to hear from you folks. They need to hear from grassroots people, not national and district people.
Right.
They need to hear from you saying, will you teach on singleness? Will you teach on some of the issues we face and help us educate the married? Will you help us? Because most churches don't have what you have. They don't have a guy like you, Steve, who's taken up the role of this ministry. They don't have it. 90% of them don't have it. Anyway.
If many of you would go back to your churches with excitement and passion and get in your pastor's face, your senior pastor or the pastor that's over you, and say, let me tell you what happened this weekend, and excite them and tell them, I want more of this, I need more of this, and there's many of them that are with me. If you have to get a list of signatures and say, look, pastor, fourth of us feel the same way. We need some more teaching. We need your support. We need you to help us out. We need you to back us up. Would you please? Could you? Would you? Can you have a prayer service and just pray over singles ministry? Can you just call all the singles up one day, one more Sunday morning after church, and say, would you just pray over all of us?
It's raising awareness. Mm-hmm. You had a comment over here? Question?
You mentioned, you said something about family nights, we do this, we do that. You know, one thing I believe, and I've talked to several in our singles ministry, we've got a pretty large singles ministry, is, you know, don't single them out. I mean, it's not a disease. You know, I mean, they've got families. They come to our family nights. They like to be involved in church activities. I mean, we like to do things. We do singles Bible study. We do singles classes on singles topics. We get them involved in other church activities. There's ministry sitting in those seats. Mm-hmm. People want to give back.
Yep.
You know, they can be involved in family nights. They can be involved in other church activities. So it's not just that's the one thing we try to do is get them. You know, after they come through divorce care, which is extremely important. Get them plugged into the singles ministry, but then turn around and part of that meeting process is getting them back out there serving.
Amen.
Integrating them into the church.
Amen.
That's the goal of ministry to single adults.
It's not
integrate
right.
them into the
it's
church.
Not the end result.
No.
It's the avenue, the gateway.
We agree with you, Tim. It's not the goal to get them into a group and stay for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. They're going to move out, and we want them to move out into the mainstream of the church. And your pastor needs to hear that. You want that. Because when he comes to you and he says, you're not growing. You got 40 people in the singles class. And you had the same number last year, didn't you? But the youth ministry's grown. You know, they've doubled in size. And the children's ministry's grown. How come you're not growing? You know what I say to those pastors? Pastor, you're right. We're losing people. I play a little game with them. We're losing people. You're losing people? How come? Well, you know, Pastor, remember Bob Johnson? He went through a divorce last year. Oh, yeah. Well, he came to our group for a year, but you know what? Bob left. Where'd he go? Well, Bob's now singing, serving in the men's ministry and singing in the choir because he feels like that's his ministry. Oh. Remember Sue? Sue came in as a never married adult. She stayed with us for a year. Now she's teaching the third grade class over here. She's plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. In other words, they come in and many of them, not all, but some of them, get plugged into the church. We want that.
And they still come back to us for the activities
some
and support and stuff like that.
So show your pastor. You don't need to double in size because you have many more people coming through your group of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 than any other ministry. You have more visitors.
Well, you may have been 40 last year and 40 this year, but they don't realize that 40 hit now are the 40 different people. They don't understand. One of the things that ties into that I said, and I know you want to ask the question, is, and I said to my group earlier, is that it's very important to communicate with the leadership of your church, not only the problems, but the praises. Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy to go to the leadership and say, we don't have this, we don't have that, I don't like our classroom, we can't get the people to join in, help me, Pastor. Well, if they hear that, and that's all they hear, mm-hmm. then they're going to look at you as a negative ministry, not a positive ministry. And so share with him the salvation. Share with him that Bob is now in another part of the church. And not just the pastor, but I love if there's a prayer team at your church, I want them to be praying for my ministry, so I will involve them in the prayer mm-hmm. needs of my singles. And so it's that, again, that crossover of not, we're an avenue in which to bring people in a way that the church is not reaching us. That's all that singles ministry is. If your church is reaching them, you don't need a singles ministry. But if it's not, it's in one more tool that we can reach people. But then the goal is to get them involved in the rest of the church. And if they don't know what the rest of the church looks like, and the rest of the church doesn't know what we look like, how are we going to connect them? So it definitely has to be a place of where we exchange. I love when single adults get to do testimonies in front of the church.
Oh, amen.
Anything to, you know, to just acknowledge that people come in all kinds of shapes and forms, and this body is made up of many, not just one, which is just the 2.2 kids. You wanted to ask a question?
Was it Jim or somebody?
I'm in the shop in the hospital. I kind of have a different problem. We've had singles for a long time. And literally, I mean, I came aboard and all of the singles really are plugged in other places. The problem is getting them back together as singles because they are in the choir. They are, okay. you know, in the nursery. They are in all these other places. But we still have needs that are not being addressed in these other ministries. And I'm having a hard time bringing them back and saying, let's address our needs as singles. I mean, we have single parents, and they can't come because they have children to take care of. So we created a Friday night, which is family night. You can bring your children. I have a mother who has Alzheimer's. We watch a movie. We talk. So that if you have family members that can't leave at home, on Friday you can bring them. And still, two people show up, and it's just like, what else can I do?
Well, if single adults have moved on to other parts of the church, I don't try to get them back, personally, because that's where they're at. God has moved them. I go look for new ones. Go look for ones that are not plugged in. People will say, I've started a singles ministry. We can't get none of the singles to come from the rest of the church. Well, where are they? Well, one's in choir. One's in men's. One's in women's. Well, leave them alone. That's where they're supposed to be.
Right.
But what I'm hearing is a two-part thing in your question. One is, definitely let them go. But if you're saying there's single adults that are involved in other parts of the church, that you're finding that they're still not growing in a certain way, that you feel being back in the singles ministry would solve, how can you get them to understand that? Well, I'm thinking they have to figure that out.
You feel like if you can get them back, then you can help them with their pains because it's like a support group.
They won't come back for various reasons.
Go out for others. The percentage, you've already heard the stats, 44% of your church. It's not just that few, that 150. Look for that other 50 that's in your church that are there, and get them into your group.
What do you do, or have you ever had this problem at one of the churches where you're a single pastor, to where Bob got in with the men's ministry, got in with the choir, mm-hmm. been out of singles for 2 years, been active in all these ministries, then all of a sudden something comes up, Bob's in a circumstance. You're sitting in your staff meeting with your senior pastor and the rest of those pastors and everything. Somebody says, well, did you hear about Bob? And they're like, no, what happened? Well, you know, you got this girl pregnant or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing that happens is they turn around and look right back at you. Well, you're the sales pastor. When was the last time you talked to him?
Then you tactfully say, he's serving in the men's ministry, isn't he? I wonder how many of the men know who Bob is.
And who's over the men?
You've got to bring in some reality here in a tactful, not a prejudiced or judgmental way or angry way, but a tactful way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob was in our ministry for a couple of years, but he's been in the men's ministry now. And he integrated into church, and he's had some issues here, I hear. I'll be happy, but we also need to get some of his peer people in the men's ministry, his friends, and this leader of the men's ministry to help, to contact him. Yeah, that's going to happen at times.
Oh, it has. It does happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. Back to your question in the back. Perhaps you don't need a weekly class or singles ministry right now. Yeah. Perhaps, and if you're not getting the people to come, then perhaps you only need a couple things a year. Maybe a special New Year's Eve event, or maybe a banquet, or maybe a Christmas thing, or
a retreat, or
a missions trip. Not every church has to have a weekly class. If many of your adults are plugged in, single adults, that's fine. But I want to caution you, there's three types of church status single adults that we should be reaching. Those in our target, our market. Are the ones that call our church their home, our church. They go to our church. That's their home. So that's our market. Unless they're plugged in somewhere else, that's our market. Many of them are. Many of them are not. So it's our church. Secondly, no church. There are singles in your community who don't go anywhere. Many, many, many of them don't go to any church. Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, AG, doesn't matter. That's your market. We got to think outside the walls. Hundreds and thousands of young adults and single adults don't go anywhere. So your church, no church, and then here's one you're going to baffle you. Other churches. Dennis, are you saying we should steal sheep? No. No, I'm saying that 80% of the Baptists and Nazarene and Presbyterian and AG churches don't have any young adult or single adult ministry at all. 80%. Why should we not target them and allow them to come? They're going to come anyway because their friends are going to tell them by word of mouth. They're going to come. And then you send them back to their home church.
Yes.
You're welcome to come to our group on Friday night, but go to your church on Sunday for worship. That's your home church. Go back to your Baptist church. We don't want you to come to our church. You're plugged into a church. Tell them that verbally from the front. Three markets. Your church, no church, other church. And you send them back. That's the beauty of single adult and young adult ministry. They don't give a rip what denomination you are.
No, they don't.
They don't care. They just want teaching, relevant teaching, friendship opportunities, healthy friendships, and discussion. That's what they want.
And one,
so don't target those other people.
And one other thing, too, that I did is, you were talking about single parents. If you can't get enough of single parents that are not married, single parents, though, well, I guess that would be the same thing. Then I would work with the part of the church that has young parents and do some combined things with them, but advertise it as a young mom and dad's coffee night, and single parents are welcomed as well as married parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, were you still able to meet some of their needs, but then there's other people there too. Utilize the resources of the church. I talked about one church I went and helped, and there were 70 women between 25 and 35 with small children.
Wow.
Of the 80 singles that I grew in 4 months. I'm like, huh, wonder what kind of ministry they should have. And it was like, so the first thing I did was I became really close with the children's pastor. I don't have kids. So I don't. There's a limitation to what I can do, but I knew they had kids, so there was a way to combine resources to minister to their needs. They had the rooms, they had all the decorations, all the little props and toys and teachers. Yeah. I just needed to. I'm the gateway to get him in, to then for him to minister. That was all I was.
Okay, we can ease, as you see, we get passionate and verbose. So help us here. Another question.
We have more women than we've got men.
Okay.
Yeah.
How strange. I don't understand that. Okay. In the single adult ministry.
They don't do nothing. They're not plugged in anywhere, but they're out there, and I go and I talk to them, and I go to their house, and man, they'll pour out on me. I mean, they'll just, whatever. They say, hey, man, you need to get involved Friday night in our single ministry.
No, I'm coming to that. A bunch of weirdos there. A bunch of losers and loners.
Well, what,
everybody's staring at them.
Well, what helped me, because that is true.
It's
and even if you fix it, guess what? It'll need fixing again. What helped me was the men that were there. I sought them out. I sat down with them, put them in leadership position, mentored them, lifted them up, and so therefore, if it was just 10 men and I had 50 women, I had those men greeting a guy and a girl greeting at the door, a guy and a girl leading Sunday school, a guy and a girl making calls, a guy and a girl. I mean, I'd use every one of those 10 men that would possibly allow me and allow God to use them and develop them. And when they saw a male there, a male calling them, a male greeter, it didn't matter if it wasn't only 10 and only 50 there, it drew other men in, and they were a little bit more happier. They were also more comfortable coming on in when they saw a male figure up front. There's nothing worse than having all female leadership. Don't do it.
And we told you only women are leaders. Women.
Women can be leaders. Yes.
Oh, yes.
We're examples up here. But when you have that balance, then that reaches the men, and the men feel comfortable. I think that's what helped my husband and I. We're a married couple working with single adults, and to me, very successfully. And even though I'm the real leader and I was the paid staff, my husband was there by my side. The single guys knew it. They knew at prayer time they could go to Gary and see Gary. They knew if they called my house and I answered the phone and do you mind if I didn't mind? Oh, no. Call, you know, talk to Gary. Not that I'm saying go out and get a married couple, but don't deny married couples from helping you out in your ministry.
Yeah.
If you don't have it right now, get a couple of married couples to come in and help you in your ministry, and that'll bring in also more men to help
you
out.
The issue Carolyn's addressing is visibility of men. Visibility. If you're going to have, in the older groups, 35 and up, 40 and up, it's very common to have two or three women to men. Very, very common. That's the usual norm. So, like you said, she said, the few men you have, you want to find some that are articulate and put them up front.
Yes.
To give announcements.
Yes.
Yeah.
To do a prayer time. To do a greeting. Something short. To give a testimony, a life share, we used to call it. Get the men up front so that men see men. Because
that's
right. in the boomers, 40 and up, now they're 40 and up, 40 to 60. The boomers were raised in this macho John Wayne society. We don't want to see women leading us, and we're not going to show our emotions, and men should be men. And so they don't. Men have egos, to be honest with you. We men, I'm one of them, although I've learned from women. So I'm. But my age group, the 40 and up, have egos. And in my opinion, a man 40 and up will draw and retain, attract and retain both genders better than a woman will attract and retain both genders.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is with guys. Now, in the young adults, 35 and under, that's not the case, because they're serving today in secular fields. They're working with women bosses, and they have no problem. And there's no problem with that. They'll respect a competent woman, but the older men are not as quickly to do that. So I say put the men up front, number one, like she's saying, even for little tasks. That's right. Number two, talk, get a few men together and say, would you guys plan some activities for men only for the next 6 months?
Yeah,
we want
about,
four
like
activities
sports
or five
events,
activities.
Like a, or a
barbecues.
Or golf. Anything.
Golf. What do men want to do? Let the men plan some events and let them get up and promote it for men. We did that in California, and we started attracting more men because men want to do what men want to do, and they want to hang out with guys. So put them up front, get more men visible, get them planning some activities, and then start looking for people who could be male teachers and start small. Let them do a five-minute life share. Let them do a 10-minute part of your lesson. Let them teach with you for 10 minutes. Get them up front in those older groups. It's more important. You're right.
And what's the funny thing, what happened in my ministry, is that I did that, and before, within 6 months to maybe 8 months, I ended up having more men. My stats turned around. And when I did do conferences and they heard that, then my singles ministry really grew because I really got a lot more people in there because I found out I had a lot of guys in the group. But there's something about just getting those men. And back to my husband, many times Gary didn't even speak or anything, but just him standing next to me represented that male figure.
True.
And that was a very positive. Even though, and to most of my singles, they thought Gary and Carolyn were the singles pastors.
Yeah.
And even though I was a paid staffer, and that was fine with me.
Gary and Carolyn are our original marriage, been married many years. However, in the older groups, 35 and up, look for remarried couples, male and female, because they understand single adults who are single again. One or both of those men, man or woman, have been single again by the divorce, death of a marriage, or death of a spouse, or they've been a single parent. So what she's saying is, you can get a remarried couple in these older groups to start, because they understand, they have passion for these people. They understand.
And most singles want to be married anyway. So.
Yeah, they want to be married. And so these remarried couples, you got a male figure right there, built in, see.
And they were the best ones also that could lead your divorce care.
Yeah, they understand.
Single parent ministry.
One or both have been
the
divorced.
The remarried couple to lead that divorce
Well, and
care.
Another suggestion that I made also to you in my classes to, well, maybe a minute, I don't know who I made it to, somebody, was to do a men's Bible study to develop the men, and even if it's led by married men, to start with, it's fine. For the goal.
Started it twice. The first time I think we started with three, and you got down to me, and another guy. Second time we started with five, and got down to me, and the same guy.
Same guy.
Yeah.
Well,
hard.
Did you brush your teeth? I'm just kidding. There are some reasons you have to evaluate. I don't know what the reasons are. Time, location, study, whatever.
We did one in the evening. Yeah. And I'm just too busy in the evening, so we did one in the morning.
We had two events that drew a lot of men, athletic events. We played flag football, basketball, and we rallied guys around that. The other thing we did was a gun rally. Went to a shooting range, and that drew a lot of guys. So ways to bring guys in.
Good. Comments, questions?
What about, how important is the events that you do? For example, service type things like urban ministries or a mission trip or things that make people feel like they're really serving in a ministry rather than it being a social event to draw people.
Anybody, I have some comments, but do one of you want to say things?
Oh, I do mission trips every year for single adults. We also... We have a missions church in Charleston where I take my single adults. We load them up in the van one Saturday. We go down there and we work with that home missions church that's trying to reach an inner city group. Anything and everything I can to get us outside of the church and them pouring themselves into other people instead of within themselves. Everything that I could do to get them to focus outward instead of focus inward was my mission and my goal. So anything I could think of, anything I could find out, they have a soup kitchen. I'd say, can I volunteer my signals? I mean, I was always raising my hand. Even when we had banquets at the church and I'm sitting there with the pastoral staff and we're setting up duties for everybody supposed to take a part, I raise my hand. The signals will set up. They don't know I did that to them many times. But anything that we can do to be of service and to witness to people is what we wanted to do.
And that's inside the church as well as outside. She's talking about outside. I've found that unmarried adults, by necessity, can become self-centered because they're the only one to take care of themselves. All the bills, all the household chores, all the car repairs, everything has to be done by them. And so out of necessity, we can become somewhat selfish. So it's important that we as leaders help give them opportunities to get out of themselves and into the community. Rest homes, homeless, Salvation Army, missions.
Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
We had a program of Adopt a Granny. Adopting old people in nursing homes but who've lost their parents or grandparents already.
We did too.
And those projects, listen, you can change the image of it and the negative image of a ministry quickly. You can change it. If you have an image where single adults and married adults think in your church, some of them think that's where they go to find a mate. Or that's, they even say, will you help me find my son, find a girl? Will you let him, you know? And how come you're not married yet? And all this. And it's a bunch of losers and loners. I'm not going over there. The singles that, you know, they think they're too cool for our ministry, so I'm not going over there. You can change that image if you will, once a year or whenever, you give a little report to the church about these outreaches you're doing.
Again, the praises connecting
you. You ask the pastor for 5 or 10 minutes in a service. Plan ahead, 4 months, whatever you need to plan. Get the date, get the 10 minutes, and show some slides, show some video, show some pictures of what you did down with the homeless last month, or the rest homes praying for people, or the Salvation Army, or the Victory Mission, or whatever. And you go help. You will change a negative image.
You will.
Wow, look what the adults are doing.
But it helps promote your group too. Nothing too is like there's a church that I work with where they own one event a year that's the whole church attends.
Yep.
But they own it.
They do it.
I had one called Blessings in which we would bring in different singing groups from around the city. We even had deaf singing group, which was awesome. They stomped their feet and it was wonderful. And the singles ran the whole event.
Yeah.
And we became known. That became our event. And it created an awareness for the single adult ministry that we were all adults. We were contributing to society. We all had paychecks. We all were mature.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
For some reason, I guess they don't think we are. And
no. So that's why you're not married, Chris.
Of course.
Of course. You're immature and you're weird.
And well, some of that is true.
You're cool.
But also missions trips. Well, this is like the hottest thing that's out
right
now.
some churches have been doing singles mission trips for years. Some of them doing them not intentionally, like, well, you know, I didn't realize everybody went was single. Because more and more single adults are not married.
No.
Are not growing towards marriage.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, I mean, let me that's not the most important thing on their mind.
Yes.
And they have more income. They're taking their vacations and going on missions trips. And so we're seeing more and more of the teams that are going to all these countries,
yeah,
not married people.
Yeah.
They're all single. And no one knew about it. Well, I said, I wonder if there's a way that we could kind of promote that so that churches who don't do singles missions trips, I could promote them. And I'm about to add a page on my website to promote them because I don't want to know about them when they happen. I want to know months ahead of time so I can start raising support. And I could go on one where everybody's a single adult and there's multiple purposes. One is sowing and, you know, actually doing what God has told us to do. But then two, is I get to see the heart of a guy that's on that trip. And where do I want my singles to meet someone that they possibly will marry? Hopefully not church, right? And so I know that's what they're there for. So to me, it's like, let me give you a safe environment where you really get to see the heart of each other, build a friendship that lasts forever. And so I'm now promoting it like crazy as less intentionally promoted as a singles mission.
Well, single adults don't have to ask their spouse if they can spend $1,000 and go for 2 weeks to another country.
Exactly.
They just do it.
Exactly.
Let's keep going here. We don't want to... Other questions?
Does some of your mission trips, do they bring singles in to the singles?
Definitely. Because when we come back, you know what I do? I'm on the stage, if not the very next Sunday that we got back, because I've already planned it with my pastor. I have my whole team. They're all up on the stage. And I ask for at least 20 minutes. Let them give their testimonies of what happened to them.
Yeah.
And the rest of the singles are out there. And it really boosts. It really does something. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically to go on these trips and for your ministry.
Yes, there will be some people who will come to a mission trip and give a week or two of their life to a mission trip, but will not come to your meetings yet, your classes, because they perceive your classes as a negative thing. There's too many hurting people there, too many lovers and looking lonely people there, too many looking for dates. But I'll give a week of my life, or I'll go on a local ministry trip downtown because I want to serve society, I want to serve crisis, and they'll go. Then they'll meet some of these people they thought were losers and loners and lovers. They'll meet them because some of them will go on the missions trip too. And they'll connect and they'll say, they're not so bad. And they start realizing, yeah, they're okay. Okay, and then they'll start peeking in your ministry, your class.
Because when you're sitting on that plane for 6 hours with that guy sitting beside you, something in that conversation, something happens.
And when you're serving out in the community.
Exactly.
You're learning, you're seeing other sides
place.
Of people, and then they'll start coming to your ministry.
Do you see a pattern here of what we're talking about, of how important it is to communicate with your church staff about what you're doing, the praises, not just the complaints, and how to keep a visual of who we are? They see us working and doing things. That's adding to the credibility that's going to get you the resources and
right.
get you the prayer that ultimately, yes, comes in full circle.
I just want to make sure that's going. Yeah.
Visibility. 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 Location. No, that's real estate.
Okay. Okay. Other comments or questions? Let's keep going. Greg.
A lot of what I'm hearing is about singles that are already in the church getting them connected. I'm just curious from a leadership perspective. What is the view as far as using a singles ministry as an outreach and bringing in people from the community, especially like Pastor Steve was talking about college. Kids go off to college and you just lose them. What's the strategy for grabbing on them so that we don't end up, I guess, needing so much work down the road for remarried people and single again, hopefully getting those people while they're young and teaching them young. What's
okay.
the strategy for that?
Good question. You guys want to say something? I will.
I know you always got something to say. Dennis, please. That's a good... I'll add if I feel led. Go ahead.
Like I said, the three types of people. Your church, no church, or other church. And for the no church people, this is outreach now. People who don't even know the Lord. Most of them don't know the Lord. They're not saved. They don't go to church anywhere. I think we need to be strategic and intentional as to how we reach them, or to how we try to reach them. And... one of our classes we taught was just seven different models of ministry to reach single adults, seven different ones. And one of them is the outreach model. And the outreach model is usually run or usually held off your church grounds mm-hmm. in a neutral setting. I did it for 12 years in three different cities, Omaha and Billings. We ran our weekly class, not our social activities, but our weekly class. We were a church of 350 in Billings, Montana, but we held our class, our group, our weekly group, in neutral locations like restaurant rooms, hotel ballrooms, meeting rooms in the bank, meeting rooms in the bowling alley. We have a whole teaching. We have more. You can pick up some extra copies on the table. We have extra notes from out there, extra handouts. And we had a weekly class, and we would draw unbelievers as well as Christians. Christians want to come because they want teaching. But we didn't have a worship service, and we didn't have a prayer service. We did not duplicate the Sunday morning worship service. We're not there to have right. 30 minutes of worship. We did maybe one song. But we were trying to intentionally reach the unbelievers. So we would teach on things that relate to them. From a Christian perspective, I would read a couple verses, but we did not have a Bible study. This was not called a single Bible study or worship or service. It was called a group for discussion, fellowship, and teaching. The three big issues. And so we would teach on the personal topics, like some of you have heard me talk about, self-esteem, identity, managing your money, developing healthy friendships, finding my career, sexuality, singleness, all these issues that the church doesn't know how to teach on. And we would teach from a biblical perspective, but not have a worship service and not have a long prayer meeting, quick prayer, and fellowship, giving time for friendship, coffee, donuts. And I'm telling you, we drew in unbelievers because they would come to a neutral, non-threatening setting. If I'm an unbeliever, I'm not going to come into your church on Sunday morning to your 9 o'clock Bible study. And if I do, I'm not going to stay. Because, number one, I don't have a Bible. Number two, I don't know where Thessalonians is. Number three, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is. Number four, I don't understand this Christian stuff you're talking, and I don't know if I want to. Because my heart hasn't been made alive. I'm an unbeliever. My spirit hasn't been. You got to think like these unbelievers. So we got to go out to where they are, Greg, and we got to give opportunities for them to come to a non-threatening place. Because man, if you're an AG church, I heard you guys swing from the chandeliers. I heard you talk in tongues. I don't want any of that stuff. See,
coffee houses are good.
Coffee houses are good.
Coffee houses are good, very good. Football games are very good, going to football games together.
But I'm talking about a weekly class or a group where you have teaching and discussion that relate to the people. Not issues of Holy Spirit, prayer, salvation, water baptism, commitment, discipline, obedience. Those are spiritual issues. I'm talking about personal life issues. And there's a whole other model there. There's a whole other intentionality. So we reached people that way, and we also reached other church people that way. 27 churches came. Baptist, Luther, Buddhist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. I'm telling you, they came because they want the fellowship. They want to meet men and women. I know some of them are coming for dates. I know that. And we would just make fun of it. Welcome all you shoppers to Focus this morning. I know you're coming. Some of you are looking for dates. It's okay. I'd rather have you look here than the bar where many of you come from. I tell them right up front, I'd rather have you look here. Now, but the first purpose of our group is not to date. Our first purpose is to help you connect with God and help you connect with each other and grow personally. So I state the purposes every month, but make fun of some of the reasons that they're coming. They laugh right along with you. You know, don't hide it. Confront it.
I love to do community stuff, to mess with people. I wear weird outfits sometimes in public to just kind of start conversations with strangers. And, well, you'd be amazed at how many people are just so hungry. They just want someone to talk to them. And so many single adults are just wanting somebody just to physically touch, just to, mm-hmm. you know, a physical touch. And, but these are crazy things. One of the things I used to do is two things. One is either host a movie where you know there's something controversial, that then after the movie, people are going to go and talk about it at a coffee house. I've done a ton of those. They've been very successful. And then we used to just meet in a pizza place that didn't have a waitress, so it was very affordable. It was a nice restaurant. And I would do topics, exactly what Dennis is saying. It was strategic. They think a bunch of friends are getting together. Hey, my friends are getting together at Redina's. We're just going to go get a sub and hang out. They're like, okay, I'll go. And we might go to a movie later or something. We don't know. Okay, I'll go. And they didn't know it, but I had people
placed specifically for the purpose of starting up conversations that led to Christ. That started up and asked some of the tough questions like, you know, I have a rule, don't ever ask anybody what they do for a living, because not everybody has a job, not everybody likes their job, and not everybody believes their job is their identity. So you have other questions. But the goal was to find out who they are, where they're coming from, and where they're going, and what they're looking for, to get them into a conversation. And it'd still look like we're all going to eat pizza. They think that, but it wasn't for me. And so I look for things like that. You guys have the base and have lock. Obviously, you could do some events there. I'm sure you probably have attempted, Steve, to do some stuff on the base.
Yeah, a lot of my guys in the base.
Yeah, probably do some Bible studies and gatherings there. And then the beach, too. Be able to go down and pass out water bottles or, you know, I don't know, popsicles on the beach and talk to some people that way, too. And now a lot of things about the beach, though, of course, a lot of them are not going to be, they're there for the weekend, but...
Okay, let's
go. I was going to say, there's so many people out there that's not Christian, that are single parents, and they won't come to church. They think Christians are hypocrites. So our church is planning an outreach at the fairgrounds for games and to give away food to the needy. We expect a lot of people there. It's probably going to draw more people to our church that are single that wouldn't go before, you know. So that's one way to maybe reach people that won't come to your church is, you know, that. Try to get involved with the community to help people in the community.
We had a trade day at our church. We tell all your friends that have kids to bring all the stuff they don't want, clothes and toys only, and you can trade them. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, and people like, sure, because they were embarrassed to say, I can't afford to buy my kid a bike or whatever. But if you come and you trade,
Yeah, right. Okay, we got a lot of other hands here. Karen?
I just want to make a comment about the university students that I work with Phi Alpha Christian Fellowship, which is this one was about outreach to secondary universities. And we feel that burden that we find that a lot of the church kids, when they get to college, we don't know where they are. They're sort of out there and they've lost out. But if we can make a better connection with your students as they're coming to college, we have Bible studies, we have worship services, we have fun events, but we need better communication to be able to reach them so you don't get them lost while they're at university. Not every place has a Chi Alpha, but there's usually InterVarsity or Navigators and these ones.
So you're saying, would you have then the pastor or the lay leader to contact the college that their high school kids are going to make sure that child is followed up?
Yeah, right. And also let the student know that we're there because we do have stuff going on. We really do want that to be a better transition.
Sure,
mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's good.
I don't think our churches are bought into that because before she got here, I didn't know about that ministry.
About Chi Alpha?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a huge...
Well, I've been in the church for 50 years.
Well, it's just that maybe you haven't heard or your church hasn't promoted it. But
just to kind of go on that, I sent my daughter off to college in Dallas. I never heard of Chi Alpha. Next thing you know, my daughter's dad, I found the coolest thing in the world. It's
good.
Just like youth group.
Yeah.
And they're all singles. Now, they don't call themselves singles,
right.
No.
But they're all singles.
Right.
I look and I went out there and I was like, this is a singles
mecca.
Metro.
It was awesome.
Great.
But then it seems like there's a disconnect between what singles ministry is in the church and then what we do there.
Steve. There's a disconnect because single adult ministry in the church is not the college age. And they don't want to be, like you said, they don't want to be. They won't go to a singles group, the college-age kids. If you have many college-age kids going to your group and you call it a singles group, you are the exception, man. You are the exception.
But we're trying. We're bucking that trend.
Well, that's if they're content with that title of being
single.
Of course, you have many coming from the, like you said, the base. And that's another dimension that adds another cultural aspect to it. So... good comments. Okay, Moses.
I just want to add one more to each other. I don't know how much you guys have gotten into MySpace, but I know an event that set up a MySpace page and does a browse through zip codes.
That's MySpace.com for those of you don't know.
MySpace.com. Does a browse for age groups in the area code, and we'll invite them to join. But there's a real connect with all my friends who know people.
Again, it comes back to, if that's where they're at on the internet, maybe you should have a blog on MySpace for your ministry. Or an event to get them, because that's where they're at. So that was just another idea.
Yeah, it's a great outreach, and you can actually survey an age group and a zip code and start. You can send a message to everyone that pops up and say, hey, we're having this event. You're invited to come.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Set up a page with that event so that all of the people that attend that event make themselves a friend of that event, and then all of their friends can see that event is your friend, and they can look at the event page.
Does everybody know what MySpace.com is? Okay.
If you want to see a great setup of that, There's one called the Loop in Memphis. The Loop in Memphis. They're set up as an event, and then we're starting to generate. And the event can send invitations to people that are friends. But it's a great outreach because I'm looking for a wife that way. I kind of look at the...
You want a mail order bride.
Okay, let's go some more.
I'm looking from a totally different perspective than what I'm hearing. Some stuff I'm right on with.
Okay.
But, for me, I'm 26 years old, single. Got my life right with the Lord in college. Anyway, I look at Christianity as it's all about relationships. Jesus, he built relationships with people. That's how he was able to minister to them. It's a very relational ministry, singles ministry. And two main things, marketing and communication, are the biggest things I see. Number one, you've got to be able to reach the people, the singles in your church first before you're going to be able to reach the singles outside of the church. Because if you bring them in, they come in and they don't see other singles to represent what singleness should be like in a Christian environment, they're going to be out the door just as fast as they came in. And I take that from experience as well. But one thing I do see is that... I agree with, yes, a lot of singles come in and you train them up and you put them right into ministry in different areas. That's awesome. But you should never lose that connection of continuing to meet with people. I believe you need to have that group setting on many different levels, not just Bible studies. You need events. You need things like this. You need to get away. You need to go goof off for a weekend. You need to have serious weekends. You need to have Bible studies. And you don't want to just put anybody in a ministry position. Certain areas of the church, you can put certain people, depending on what level they're at in their walk with the Lord. You know, but you don't want to put somebody that's a wishy-washy Christian in certain positions, because then other singles will come in, they'll see that person in a visual position and say, that's not what I want to be like if that's what Christian single is. And they're going to walk right out the door. Also, intermixing with interdenominations, sometimes that gets really tricky. When you bring in a lot of different denominations, not that you can't do it, but what happens is, if you don't have the dominant people in your group with a dominant foundation of their Christianity, you get a lot of non-believers coming in. Say, new guy A meets up with new guy B, doesn't know that guy B is new. Now they're both trying to train each other up, and they're both in immaturity. And neither one of them grow. They both walk out the door. Neither one of them found anything. So the biggest thing that I'm seeing is that we've got to train up the singles that are already in the church. And not everyone has the luxury of having a singles pastor. Liberty Church has a blessing to be able to have that. But what we need is to get it out to the head pastors to either him or herself to either do it themselves, which usually isn't an option. They've got plenty of other things to do, or to appoint leaders to head that up. Because you've got to have that, if not weekly, if not more, time together. Because that bonding relationship is the most important. And I think of the scripture of 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that every man may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you're not training the singles up, how are they knowing what to do when they get in
that? Well, honey, that's why we have this conference, and that's why I do what I do, because I build the leaders that go reach the singles. I feel called to build the leaders for myself. Some people are called to evangelize the singles. But it doesn't do any good in singles ministry. We get tired and burnt out. I was in leadership for up until 3 years ago until I got called to full-time ministry. I did leadership all these years, and I've started many ministries. And I see the burnout, and I see the frustration and the aggravation. The pastors don't care. There's no money, and I don't know where to go. And praise the Lord for Dennis, you know. I mean, between Dennis' site and my site, we try to cover, have as many resources for people, but it's getting them to them. God gave me two plans this year. One is to speak as much as I could, and the other one is to get as many people to my site so they got the resources to build the ministry, because there's only one of me. So I need y'all to be representations of aspects of what we're doing to be pumped up, to get excited, go to your pastors, and then give the ministry away.
Give it away.
So that someone else will then go to it. Even if they leave your church, they'll go to another church, and they'll start a singles ministry there, or a parent ministry in the community. If you feel called to lead singles, I don't let your church keep you, but I prefer that everything is covered by a church. I prefer to work with ministries there is a covering, for obvious reasons. But if you still feel called, you can start ministry to singles one-on-one right this second, you know?
good comments. You covered a lot of ground.
Amen. We're not very good. Yes. Very good comment.
Somebody else, we have 5 minutes left. Another question, something else maybe that you want to talk about or raise up, bring up. Anybody?
What about in rural areas?
Rural?
Yeah. I mean, you were talking earlier about, you know, coffee shops, and that's wonderful, yeah. But if your area is rural North Carolina, well,
yeah.
You just only have those as a beginning option.
See,
meet at Hardee's in the parking lot. I need to circle around a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want to be considered a gang by circling around the parking lot.
Wait a minute, that's how I met my first boyfriend. No,
find a place, find an area that everybody knows, and find some restaurants that have a back room that'll let you have it for free, and use those places is what you can do.
Rural areas normally have smaller churches, mostly. There's some exceptions, but like all good Tennessee has a big church, and that's a little town. I've been there. But that's an exception. So rural areas with small churches, if you can, here's an idea. If you can form a relationship with someone at another church or two, another evangelical church, doesn't even have to be the same denomination. Because we don't teach doctrine at these classes and meetings. We teach basic Bible stuff and life issues. So if you can form a relationship with some other adult from another church, I'm saying two or more churches can work together. Because you don't have enough single adults in your church to maintain and sustain a ministry in a small church, I'm saying. You don't have enough. Because they're all ages, and you're not going to mix with all ages. The 20s and 30s don't want to mix with the 50s and 60s. So, usually. So, small churches can work together and can form an area-wide group. Somewhere, like she said, that is known where you can meet. If you meet at your church, it's going to take on that identity, but not everybody wants to come to your church. So you might want to find a neutral location where they're more open to coming and form some relationships. It'll take months to form these relationships, and then you agree to meet so often, and you agree with these other leaders as to what you're going to teach and discuss. It'll take some work, but you can do it, though. It can be a neat, fulfilling thing. Yeah?
And we did we rented last year community center in Cookeville and had a pavilion and a volleyball court, basketball court,
yeah.
And we had a luau.
Yeah.
And there's probably a dozen churches in our area that have singles ministries, but they're like, you know, they're maybe 5 or 10 people meeting for Bible study once a month or, you know, whatever. And it's hard for them to do a lot, and we've got a large one, and they know that. I try to keep up with all those singles leaders, because most of them, they're just doing it through volunteer basis and stuff, and I'm on staff, so I try to help them as much as I can. And so when we did the volleyball thing, I mean, we sent out emails and letters to all those guys and told them we had like 70, 80 people showed up. We had volleyball tournaments. We did games. We did all that. And it was really good. And I tell you, there was a lot of friendships built. I mean, we still got a lot of people from those other churches.
Yeah.
That they'll come to our Friday night Bible study once or twice a month if their singles group's not doing anything.
That's good.
I mean, so, but you know, we went out to the community. We didn't have it on our church grounds, so that way some other pastor didn't say, well, why are you going over to Trinity Assembly? No, we went to the Cookeville Community.
I've also used the associational offices of your particular denomination also has sometimes facilities and places to help, you know, looking for that support of anywhere you can to help you put on an event or put in an off-site location. We have a thing called Springle. It's a spring singles mingle. Bringle a friend. And it's a, we do it at, yeah, you know, just think you as a single under me at teaching. But we would do it in the community and bring your pet and bring your kids, one or the other, or together.
Same thing
for some. And hamburgers and door prizes and a tree. We've been doing it for years, just for sure we're not doing it because I can't do it all, right? But it's so much fun. If you want to steal that name, steal it, Springle. And it's just something in spring, and it's open, and we do it in a park that has a lot of other people. And then we go out into the park and talk to those people and bring them back to have dessert.
Oh, so, like missions.
What a thought. And strategic and intentional ministry. It looks like y'all are having a cookout, and they'll realize it's strategic and intentional.
There you go.
Well, it is about 4:30. Let me remind you of a couple things as we close. You have 2.5 hours of free time. go eat something, relax, come on back to this room at 7 for the comedy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. I think they've invited a few other people from the church to come, so there may be some other people there too. Don't forget your evaluation. Put it on the back chair right there by the pillar. Put it on the back chair there. And secondly, tomorrow at what time are we meeting?
10
up in room 214, 10 o'clock. All right? Thanks for being here. The resource tables are open for a few minutes. We'll see you out there in the lobby. Bye.